Welcome to the Bob Siegel Show podcast on the Cross Global Media Radio Network. Visit cgmradio.com/Bob to subscribe on your favorite podcasting platform.
So, you'd like to believe in God, but you sometimes wish God would have evil people sprout horns and a tail. That way you can more easily decide who's evil, who isn't evil, who's pretending to be good, particularly with politicians, and you could figure out when politicians are lying. My friend, don't we already know when politicians are lying? Their lips are moving. Okay, old joke. I never get tired of it. Actually, to be fair, it's a generalization to say all politicians lie. I will say this. If those who claim to be objective reporters would actually do their jobs, it would be much simpler. All they would have to do is ask the fair and obvious questions. Of course, we still would never get a straight answer unless some of those politicians were first given truth serum. Just imagine what that would be like. Well, imagine no longer. Tonight, you no longer have to imagine. Yes, it's time for another episode of Moments of Spoken Truth We Will Never See with your old pal, Bob. Thank you. For today, I want you to imagine Kamala Harris, if she were in front of a mainstream media that was going to seriously ask her a pointed question. Senator Kamala Harris, in the not-so-distant past, you accused Joe Biden of promoting racist policies. You also said you believed some of the females accusing him of sexual harassment. Why, then, are you supporting him now? How can you possibly do such an about-face? Because now he selected me as his VP running mate. And everybody knows this means that should we win, I will be president. Just how long do you think that blithering idiot will actually stay in office? You've been listening to Moments of Spoken Truth We Will Never See with your old pal, Bob. And now, a man who needs no truth serum, he is already truth on steroids. Say hello to Jim Barrier.
Hey, Bob. It's really good to be here. That's my DJ voice.
And good to have you in the studio.
Yeah, I'm in the studio.
How did you happen to visit California twice in 1 year? Usually this is an annual gig with you, and I think it was just a month and a half ago, maybe, that you were here before.
You'd have to ask my wife that, but she said, I want to take a vacation, even though no one's taking vacations, and we're going to go to San Diego.
So you went to beautiful Newsomeville. What a great vacation idea that was.
You know, we might talk about your wonderful governor at a certain point in the show. Maybe we'll talk about him right now. Let's just go with this as we usually do. It's crazy being here in California. I live in Texas, as frequent listeners know. And I come out here. You guys have arrows in the aisle at the store and little aisle police to tell you if you're going the wrong direction down the aisle in the store. I'm thinking, what in the world is this?
Well, it's worse than that, Jim. What's worse is people are getting used to it. We have commercials now, which sound as casual as an old Miss Clairol shampoo commercial. Yeah. A special mask when you want to do that. Social distancing. You can tell they're planning on this junk being around for a really, really long time.
Well, if that's the case, I will visit San Diego periodically. You know, I grew up here. I'm a third-generation San Diego native, very rare for someone my age. My great-grandson, yes, my great-grandson is a sixth-generation San Diego native. Try to find five of those anywhere.
Wow.
And so I have deep roots here. I love San Diego. We're here visiting some family and friends, and it always, I try to line it up so I'm here on a Sunday and can come join you in the studio. And then next week, we're going to head up to Orange County. My sister-in-law lives in Newport Beach, and we're going to go visit her for a little while. So we're just doing our little California thing. The last time I was here was more, we had some serious, I had a family member passed away, and I needed to be here for services. And so happened to be in town then. But I try to get out here at least once a year. We're hoping to be out here next November. We'll see how that goes. And if so, we'll try to line it up, and I'll join you here if that's possible. But, you know, it's a love-hate thing. I love San Diego. We went down to the beach the other night, and I went out there and got my feet wet and just enjoyed the ocean air. And it's a beautiful city. But then I go to the store, and you got arrows in the aisles, and you got masks, and you got crazy things.
And the restaurants are closed, and the theaters are closed, and the churches were allowed to open for 3 weeks at 25% capacity with masks, with social distance. Then they were told they had to close down again. Then a lot of them started defying the governor's order. Now there's a judge that's, I guess, temporarily allowing them to be opened again, but we don't know how long that'll last because it's going to go right back up to the Supreme Court again. And I don't trust Chief Justice Roberts any farther than I can throw with these
guys. Yeah, there's been a lot of talk about that. He's disappointed a lot of conservatives. And I always try to think of this. You know, when I turned 18 and I voted for the first time, I was a new believer, and so I'd had a whole new supply of ideas to consume. And a man who kind of mentored me was kind of a spiritual parent to me, if you will. My first time to vote, he said, "Jim, sometimes you have to learn to discern between the lesser of two liberals."
Instead of the lesser of two evils, the lesser of two liberals.
And that's been the case all these years. And so, yeah, Roberts wasn't what we hoped he would be, but could have been a lot worse. And you know, the biggest thing at stake in my mind, that there's so much at stake with this coming election, but the next president is going to appoint at least one justice, maybe two or three, and they're propping Ruth up like, you know, the Weekend at Bernie's. You know, she may be one of those cardboard cutouts at a sporting event. I don't know. They're holding on as long as they can, and if a Democrat gets elected president, she's going to retire the next day. You could just count on it.
Yeah, he would. Or, you know, it could even, he could drop out at the nomination. Once he officially gets the nomination, he could drop out. They could nominate her.
Yeah,
I mean, there's nothing in our Constitution that says a nomination has to be based on primaries.
Yeah.
They didn't even have primaries when our
Constitution. No, it's nothing. Nothing is normal in this
election. But even if he served for 4 years, it wouldn't be him. He would be dummy. I'm using that in both senses of the words. And she would be back there along with Bernie, and they would be ventriloquists throwing their voices, and he'd be moving his lips.
But whoever it is, if it's a Democrat, they're going to, you know, Ruth Bader Ginsburg is going to be done as soon as there's a Democratic president. If Trump gets reelected, and I'm still hoping and praying that that happens, then he is likely going to make a couple of appointments, because there's a few of them that are really old, and I think most of them are just waiting to see what happens with this election.
Well, you know, if the Democrats win, it's not just a matter of electing more out of what would eventually become nine. They have said if they were to gain both houses, and actually all they would have to even gain would be the Senate.
Right.
I'm not even sure if they would need the House to change this. Well, maybe, because they'd have to change a law. Senate does approval. They probably need both houses because they'd have to change. But they're planning on changing the law because there's nothing in the Constitution that says it has to be limited to nine. It makes good sense.
Yeah.
Because if you don't have a, you know, if you don't set the number, then people can just keep putting in their own stooges for political power. And that, of course, is based upon the erroneous concept that the Supreme Court was supposed to have that much power in the first place. Which it wasn't, but everybody believes that now. It's acted out that way. So we could have 20 people put on the Supreme Court, and if we have an all-Democratic Senate, they'll just approve them. They'll go right on through.
Yeah, you're right. And so, I'm praying for a Republican wave in November. I really hope that Mr. Trump gets reelected, and we've covered this so many times. Yeah, I know the guy's obnoxious. Yeah, I know he's flamboyant, but you know what? He's true to himself, and he does say what he thinks, and people hate it, and he's not going to back down, and he likes getting the feedback and stirring things up. I think there's something about that he enjoys, but with his twittering and stuff. But his policies have been, there hadn't been anyone that's done things like he does maybe since Reagan. You know, his political or his economical views, his policies on economics, his, you know, who else has stood up to China? That's,
or as he likes to put it, China.
Yeah.
I call it the Chinese virus because it comes from China.
Yeah. Yeah. We have a very close friend who said, I'm not going to call it the Chinese flu. And my wife said, well, that's okay, but everybody knows that it came from Wuhan, China. I know, but but he's not afraid to say things like that. So I want to see him get reelected. And I don't want to see the Democrats take the Senate. I would love to see the Republicans regain Congress, the House, but I don't know that that
I feel so torn because I dread the idea of the Republicans not taking back both houses, but they don't deserve to have either. Not because I don't agree with where policy-wise, but because they have not lived by them. They have compromised. They've been mealy-mouthed. They've been traitors. Okay, well, on that merry note, you're listening to the Bob Siegel Show with Jim Barrier.
Believe it or not, Bob Siegel is aware that there may be one or two people who disagree with his opinions. To offer your own comments on the topic at hand or to challenge Bob with a thought-provoking question, feel free to contact Bob on Facebook, Twitter, or questions@bobsiegel.net.
Always great treat to be joined by my good friend Jim Barrier.
And normally we do a little music trivia stuff. We're not going to do our normal thing. But I was just listening to Dave Brubeck, Take Five, classic, classic piece. Here's a little trivia for you folks out there. The Beatles, you may have heard of them, did a movie called A Hard Day's Night, black and white film. And there was a soundtrack, and it was mostly Beatles songs that they sang. But there were four instrumentals that George Martin arranged. One of them was an instrumental version of the title song, A Hard Day's Night, and it was a mimic of Take Five by Dave Brubeck. When you first hear it, you think, oh, they got Dave Brubeck here.
Oh, and then you listen to the melody.
And then it goes into the melody. Yeah, that was just for you folks that really, really are, you know, desperate for trivial bits of information.
I never saw A Hard Day's Night, and I never saw Help. How was the acting of the Beatles in those movies? Were they okay?
You know, they were just themselves. They were funny. Now, the first
That's where
movie,
they got the idea for the sitcom The Monkees.
Yeah, absolutely. And subsequently MTV.
And the Monkees were not even, some people don't know, the Monkees were not a real singing group. They were a fictitious singing group created for that comedy series. But then they became so popular, they went on the road and became a real band.
Yeah, and one of their first concerts, the opening act was a guy named Jimi Hendrix. He opened for the Monkees.
Oh, my goodness.
How's that for weird? Yeah, and on and on and on. And Stephen Stills of Crosby, Stills and Nash auditioned for the Monkees and didn't make the band. A lot of stuff to know in there.
One, and I didn't care for the Monkees. I liked the Monkees' music as a sitcom. I thought it was horrible, even though they won the Emmy Award for Best Sitcom of the Year. And I'm going, these are the same people that gave the Emmy Award to Dick Van Dyke a few years ago. Yeah. How can that be coming from the same organization? However, what you got to hand it to them, and here's where I'm doing a little music trivia, they pioneered the video.
Exactly.
The MTV
that's what I said
videos.
It. Yeah, that's where MTV, you know, got
its mention MTV.
And Michael Nesmith had a lot to do with that. So,
yeah.
I love talking about this stuff. We could talk music all night, but we won't. But there you go, folks. There's your little bit of music trivia, with Jim and Bob.
With Jim and Bob. Mostly Jim, with Bob throwing a little trivia in here and there.
Yeah, it's a strong suit for me. Now, we were talking about back to trying to gain a majority in the House of Representatives and keep the Senate. I don't know if that's going to happen. That is a far-fetched thing. Right now, Mr. Trump, who I think just straight voting, if just only people who were legally allowed to vote voted, I think he would win in a landslide. But
in what alternate Rod Serling universe will that happen in, Jim?
Well,
it's a legal election and only legal people are voting.
I know. And you got all the mail-in thing. Folks, the whole COVID thing has many, many parts of the
agenda.
Only
because of COVID, of course. We just care about your health.
Yeah.
We're not trying to fix an election. We're just here to keep you safe. Meanwhile, we told the whole police department to stand down and we defunded them. But we're here to keep you safe.
Well, if you're having a demonstration, a peaceful demonstration, then that's different.
Yeah, which is what it is on MSNBC, CBS, ABC, because they don't show it. And if occasionally footage of a riot leaks out, it's like, oh, well, it was peaceful until Trump brought the feds
in. It was the feds that started
the riot. Or they'll admit that it was violent. Let's say, but it's violent for a righteous cause, and it's such a righteous cause, and they're protesting you right-wingers. They are not the real violent ones. In fact, if you think that their violence is violence, you're the violent one. And why wouldn't people believe that? These are the same people that say you could be a man and really be a woman. So why can't you be violent and not really be violent? This soft soap is being swallowed by the same populace.
Once again, as I've said many times, on Judgment Day, media goes first. Present company excluded.
Yeah, not the Bob Siegel show. No one's going to mess with that. Or he may have a hard discussion with me about why I brought Barrier on twice a month. But other than that, I think I'm in the clear on Judgment Day.
Yeah, so media uses the term peaceful demonstration. And my friend Inigo Montoya would say, you keep using that word. I do not think that word means what you think it means.
Well, it means a piece of building here, a piece of body there, that kind of piece. Yeah.
And we joke about it. It's not a joke.
It's horrific what's going on.
But nobody expects those people to wear masks or to practice any social distancing. By the way, you can have a funeral service for a honored liberal politician and pack the place out. That's okay. But if you're going to have church, regular church in that same building,
or any other funeral for anyone else,
that's not okay. 25% capacity. Sorry, you got this.
Yeah, so, unless it's in Washington D.C. and they're all huddled in there, and Barack Obama's giving the speech.
Oh, you had to bring his name up. Okay,
I'm just here to honor my good friend. I'm not here to exploit a crisis. I'm just here to honor my good friend. That's all I'm here. However, while I'm here, let me say something about Trump.
Yeah,
I don't really like that guy.
Yeah.
He's a racist. He's fascist.
That's kind of what it was. That was the synopsis.
More or less.
If you missed the eulogy,
you
that
just
was
got
pretty
the cliff notes, the Reader's Digest version right here.
I attended a church service last night out in El Cajon, a wonderful church. And the people that we're staying with while in town here attend that church. And so we went with them to service last night. It was outdoors, open air. It was a lovely evening. It had cooled down a bit because the sun had set. But the pastor gave a wonderful message, and he reminded me of some things that I've said myself. But he talked about praying, and he said, we need to pray for our president. And you hear some amens, and he says, and we need to pray for our governor. And it was a little more quiet. And we've talked about this. You can have a corrupt government. You still are required by the New Testament standards and the instruction of Paul and Peter and that we should pray for those people in authority, even if they're wrong, even if we disagree with them, we need to pray for them.
I agree. I like Tevye's prayer from Sound of Music. Is there a blessing for the Tsar, Rabbi? Why may God bless and keep the Tsar far away from us.
Okay. Was that Sound of Music or Fiddler on the Roof?
That was Fiddler on the Roof. Did I say Sound of Music?
Yeah, but you love that one too.
Oh, no.
I don't know. Listen to the tape later on.
See, I've been talking about Joe Biden so much, I'm starting to make Joe Bidenisms. That was Fiddler on the Roof, not the Sound of Music.
I think that, but I agree. It was the Fiddler on the Roof.
It was Fiddler on the Roof.
Great character.
There were no rabbis in the Sound of Music. A lot of Nazis, which make you think about the poor persecuted Jews, but no rabbis in the Sound of Music.
And so that's a good example. People in Nazi Germany who were believers still had to pray for their government. People in communist Russia and China still have to pray for their government. When Peter talked about praying for the king was killing Christians.
Well, I know now I get to do one. That was Paul that told us to pray for the king. However, in 1 Timothy. I'm sure Peter prayed for the king too. I just had to get you because you got me for the Sound of Music.
But if we're instructed by the church leaders to pray for the government, the king, the Caesar, whoever it is, those guys were as corrupt as can be.
And ladies and gentlemen, praying for the governor, which we do, does not mean obeying the governor when the governor is being unconstitutional. You're listening to the Bob Siegel Show. We will be right back.
People are enjoying Bob Siegel's time travel novel, Push the Winds Around. Check out these customer reviews on Amazon.com. This is one of those books, like certain movies, where you keep thinking about it long after you finished. Once I picked it up, I didn't want to put it down until I'd read the entire book. Literally, a page-turner. Every character came to life. Their personalities were well-defined and consistent.
First thing I did after I finished the book was to ask about the sequel. The next customer said, I read this book cover to cover in one sitting. Great read with completely unexpected ending that left me wishing there was just one more chapter. Give yourself a couple of hours to read it all at once because you won't want to put it down. Push the Winds Around, available on Amazon.com or BarnesandNoble.com.
Our theme, Christianity and its relationship to politics and pop culture, joined today in the studio, incarnate, Jim Barrier, usually on the phone, mild-mannered phone man, is today live in the studio.
He came out of the phone booth, the mild-mannered.
That's right. Okay, boy, does anybody out there even know what a phone booth is anymore? We're really dating ourselves.
I know. Look, I need to share this. Honor all people, love the brotherhood, fear God, honor the king. That's 1 Peter chapter 2, verse 17.
Well, Peter and Paul both said
they agreed.
Honor the king.
Now, folks, I got to explain this. Bob and I, we love to think, we love to share ideas.
And we love to kid each other over the air.
And I first met Bob when he was on his way to a debate. And so it's kind of what we do. By the way, I got to tell you this. We have a following in San Antonio. You have a lot of fans.
Some of your fans in San Antonio who listened to you on the air have friended me on Facebook.
Yeah.
I don't know if they listen to the show when
they
you're
do.
Not on, but I know they listen.
Yes,
when
they do. They do.
And, well, good for them. That shows that their heads are mounted squarely on their shoulders.
And they have taste. And so, but someone said to me, why does Bob apologize for Jesus? I said, what? Well, it says he's a Christian apologist. can you give us a word study?
Was it a sincere question or was it a joke?
It was really someone, because that's a term that not everybody's familiar with.
Yes. Okay, so, quick tutorial.
Yep.
The word apology is a word that comes out of the Greek, apologia, and it meant explanation. And so an apologist is like an evangelist, but he's one who reasons it out with people who may have skeptical questions. I don't think the Bible's valid history. I don't think the belief in a God goes along with science. I don't believe there's evidence historically that Jesus rose from the dead. That's what a Christian apologist is.
Yeah.
The reason it got related to the word apology originally meant explanation. Then words change in the vernacular as history goes on. So eventually it became somebody who was saying that they were sorry, but they were saying they were sorry with an apology. So they were saying, I'm sorry this happened. Let me explain why it happened. Right. Then in time, the explanation part got dropped, and the word apology just became the word I'm sorry.
Yeah.
So that's how it happened. It
Thank
changed
you very
over
much.
The vernacular.
There was a softball right over the plate. You hit a home run. And so now, folks, if you hear that introduction, you go, I know what an apologist is.
Yeah, softball is a little easier, because in softball, at least the pitcher's on your side, not on the other team's side. So.
Well, but that's what we do. We like to make a case. We like to give an explanation. And so once in a while, Bob and I get into a little banter there, and I just was kind of, I knew there was something about it in Peter, and that's all that was.
But I did say, I'm sure Peter said something about praying for kids, too.
And once
the
again.
Verse that the verse that I've been using a lot lately, it's been on my mind, is the one in 1 Timothy.
Yeah.
Paul urges us to pray for kings in high places. But.
And they're both valid, they're both true, they're both in sync. So...
And now that Newsom thinks he's king, the verse especially applies to him.
Exactly. And I don't assume that every listener that hears this program is a Christian or a committed believer.
I know by our mail and some phone calls that not everybody who listens is a Christian. So we are talking to a more mixed audience.
Yeah. And so when I make comments like that, it's largely for the benefit of those who you are. Of you who are believers, who are professing followers of Christ, that we have a moral obligation, according to the scriptures, to honor the position, the authority, pray for them. You might not like that person. They may be guilty of some real corrupt things. We still need to pray for them. And I've had some presidents in my lifetime that when I prayed, I've had to pray, God, help them see the truth, help them hear your voice, help them make moral decisions, and if necessary, help them repent and change from what they're doing, who they are, but I still pray for them. And as hard as this may be for some of our listeners to hear, I pray for protection. I never, it in. Any president whose Barack name I won't mention. I never wanted to see violence come to any person in that office. The chaos that would ensue, the things of the calamity, and then and the damage to his family and his own person. I don't pray for violence to happen to any man. And I have friends that, that hate our current president. I have people that hate Trump. They just hate him. Even people who are Christians, I've had, they just say, I can't stand that guy. And I always say, why? And there's not, all it is personality and his style. But if they hate him, they still, you need to pray for him and pray that violence doesn't come to him. I just
and, think. And on the subject of not wishing bad things, it was just, it just came out in the news. President Trump's brother just passed away. And I had never seen the president so emotional. I
mean,
just, he said his brother was his very best friend. He misses him. He loves him. I've not heard those kinds of heart-wrenching words from President Trump. And I, again, I like to get people to separate his personality from his policies. But there are other sides to his personality. Last week, Dr. Jim Garlow was a guest. He knows Trump personally. And he said, I will vouch for, that this is a man who wants to do the right thing. And he even knows a pastor who says that he prayed to receive Christ. Now, we can't look into the heart, but
I don't know.
But the point is, he says he's at least a man who's trying to do the right thing. And that's something we would really want from our president.
Absolutely.
Okay, we will come back for another segment. You're listening to The Bob Siegel Show.
Looking for a church that will not only challenge you, but help you to feel like a part of a family? Why not try Skyline Church, located in Rancho San Diego near 94 in Hamashaw? I can testify firsthand to Skyline because I myself am a member. When you visit, tell them Bob Siegel sent you and ask about that free week-long trip to Bermuda for first-time visitors. They'll look at you like they don't know what you're talking about, and you will not, in fact, get any free trip to Bermuda, but you'll still be glad for a chance to experience Skyline Church. You don't want to go to Bermuda anyway. Too hot. And people who approach that area have been known to disappear, but they don't disappear at Skyline. Those who visit usually can't wait to come back.
Skyline Church.
Co-hosting with me, as he does twice every month now, Jim Barrier.
You know, and you said that, and I think, yeah, I get to do this twice a month now. And on the air, I want to say, Bob, thank you so much for the privilege of being on your show. Even once a month, or it's a great honor. But it's, I really get a lot of juice off this. I love this. It's a lot of fun. And it's stimulating to my brain. So thank you
for
letting me be part of it.
Well, it is my pleasure, first of all. And then, as Marlon Brando once put it, someday, and that day may never come, you'll be called upon to perform a small service. Until that day, consider it a gift on my daughter's wedding day.
And as he said in another place, I could have been a contender. I could have been someone.
If you'd have come to me in friendship. Santino, I think your comedy you're playing with that young lady's getting into your head.
That wasn't a very good Brando, but I wanted you to know that I'm at least willing to give it a try.
Oh, now we're on a Marlon Brando thing, and he also played the part of Jor-El.
Jor-El, Superman's dad.
And the opening line, this is no fantasy.
Well, you know, Marlon Brando was actually, The Godfather was a three-hour movie. If you added up everything Brando was in.
Yeah.
It probably amounted to about an hour. It was spread out. And that began this new kick that resurrected his career. All of a sudden, it's Superman starring Marlon Brando. He was in 10 minutes of that.
Yeah.
Apocalypse Now starring Marlon Brando.
Yep.
10 minutes of that. Now in the director's cut of Apocalypse Now, you see him a lot more. But Roots, The Next Generation.
Yeah.
Starring Marlon Brando, 7 minutes. I don't know why I remember all this trivia.
You're scary.
I'm the drama trivia nut. You're the rock and roll trivia nut.
But now let's see if we can just regroup and come back to some center
point. We were talking
here.
About, did we ever get to Kamala Harris? We were
Let's talk.
Well, I started that in the monologue, but we never, you wanted to talk about that.
Well, I just thought, you know, now we finally know who Biden's selection is for his running mate. And as you mentioned, and this has happened with many parties over the years. I mean, Kennedy picked Lyndon Johnson for his running mate, and they couldn't stand each other. But they'll do this because they need to bring in part of the country that they don't think they can win on their own. And this is old school politics. So I don't fault him. And I'm not even sure that he's the one that made the decision. I'm not sure who's making the decisions or who's talking. But yeah, we now have a presumptive vice presidential candidate. And I'm just so excited about this because I think it just makes it easier for the Republican ticket if it were just a straight up election. I don't see any debates ever happening. My goodness. You know,
they are talking. They've actually put them on the schedule, but I do not believe we're
going to see someone that.
We mentioned this 2 weeks ago. Neither one of us believes. They'll use COVID as an excuse, or they'll say Trump is such a racist. We will not even grace him with a debate. They'll try something like that.
Yeah. Well, you know, and as you mentioned, Harris at one point accused Biden of being racist.
Several times in the debates, and she said she believed those some, or at least some of those women that accused them, and now. Oh, she's honored. She's honored to serve with a man like Joe Biden. Yeah.
You know what? I can't wait. I can't wait for someone to ask her. Now, none of the mainstream media is going to do this, but about the stories now that are breaking that her great-grandfather was a slave owner. What are you going to do with that one, you know?
Well, she could say, even if that were true, I'm not responsible, but then that would go against the greatest political talking point of all right
now. Exactly. It just throws that whole... So that's going to be an interesting thing to see.
When politically correct people start eating each other.
Yeah. And if it somehow gets out in a debate, in a press conference or something, it'll somehow be edited from what's broadcast, you know, but it's just, it's a reality. It's a truth that... the media is not going to treat this fairly. They're doing everything they can.
Now, I have heard that as a rumor. Has that actually been authenticated?
Yeah.
The part? I'm one of those who would say it doesn't matter because she's not responsible. That lady's responsible for so much pure evil that she's actually done. I don't need to hold her responsible for what her ancestors did. However, if she wanted to say on this point, I'm not responsible, that would be fine. But the problem is she won't cut that slack to anybody else when they're talking about all the reparations we need.
Yeah.
By the way, did you see the person on TV? They were looting a Target, and it was in the same news story that was talking about them breaking the windows of a Ronald McDonald House for sick children in the name of Black Lives Matter. And this woman is saying, well, she was talking more about the Target than the children, although both were victims. She was saying, this is reparations. This is reparations for slavery. And they're now going to people's houses in the suburbs and saying, you need to give us your house. But you know, Jim, you've heard me over the air predict. I was saying it about California.
Yeah.
It's happening everywhere. I was saying the day was going to come where they were going to start putting people out of their homes and putting other people in. In California, I figured it would be illegal immigrants. They've already done it with hotels.
With hotels, yeah.
And now they're just saying that in the name of reparations, it's starting to happen. Whenever I say these things, I'm always saying, oh, come on, conspiracy theory, settle down. That's not going to happen. Everything I've predicted, I don't predict elections well, but in terms of broad strokes and social trends, everything I've predicted has started to happen. That's not because I think I'm clairvoyant. It's because that's human nature. And if you study history and you study human nature, you know that enough is never enough for people that get into power.
You know, it says back in the Old Testament, it talks about the sons of Issachar, and they understood the times and what Israel should do. And it's more of that. It's understanding what's going on. It's knowing history. It's paying attention to the patterns. And as you say, enough is never enough. It's like it's snow skiing. You talk about getting velocitized. You need a faster hill. You need more and more and more. It's the law of diminishing returns. And that's taking place politically. It's never going to be enough. And it is frightening, the things that now are being tolerated by the left. Pushed by the left, if you will, and looked at, winked at by the mainstream media. And you think, how in the world has this happened in my country, in my lifetime? It didn't seem possible. And yet there have been people like yourself who have warned us and said, you know, be careful. These kind of things are going to happen. And we're seeing it now. And it's like even Christians in churches just kind of take it and say, well, it's not.
They don't want to see it. Or they say, oh, but it's great because the rapture's going to come and the tribute. Anyway, we'll be right back for one more segment. You're listening to The Bob Siegel Show.
Reader enthusiasm for the dangerous Christmas ornament doesn't end. Check out this customer review from Amazon.com. Anytime I read a book where I want to find out what happens in the next chapter all the way to the last page of the book is a great book. This is the experience you and your children will have reading The Dangerous Christmas Ornament. I read the whole thing in a short time despite a busy schedule. The interesting plot lines has the flavor of realism because the author is writing from his own childhood experiences and ours as well. You will relate to the authentic family dynamics and the playground trials and triumphs described in the book. The book will also make you laugh as some of the characters have a great sense of humor, delivering good-natured jokes mixed with a dose of sarcasm. Most importantly, the book throughout has a moral dimension to it that takes it to a deeper level, making it a preferred selection to read to your kids. Enjoy The Dangerous Christmas Ornament, available in bookstores and libraries.
We get so tangential, even if we're not getting tangential, we're having a good time.
And it's a good,
times always go by too quickly.
And it's a fun conversation. And yeah, we do. We both tend to get on rabbit trails from time to time. And I think that's part of the fun of the show.
The Wily Waskily Wabbit Twitter, yeah. Since we're doing impersonations tonight.
I'm looking for Wiggly Wabbit.
Or Marvin the Martian. It's the Iridium Q36 exploding space modulator.
We could do this all night.
My grandson loves Marvin the Martian. Oh, yeah. Every time I see him now, he's 4 years old, he goes, "Where's the kaboom? There's supposed to be an earth-shattering kaboom."
For the younger audience, you'll have to go to Nick at Night or something, or find something on YouTube and look up these things.
Or go to my website. Yeah. I have an old interview under the Bob Siegel Show. Go under Satirical Sketches. Interview with Ahmadinejad in Iran, and it's Marvin the Martian's voice. What are you going to do about Israel? Oh, I'm going to blow it up.
That's great. You know, a little gratuitous self-promotion here, and I'm beginning a podcast. So I will not be on every day, at least at this point, but I'm going to be doing a weekly podcast on the CGM Radio Network. So very exciting to do that. It is a great thing. And the cool thing about a podcast is if you want to listen to this show, well, if you're not by the radio at 6 o'clock Pacific time, you can listen to it later on Bob's website. But the podcast, you can just tune in there, listen to them, and it's good to go. So excited
and
about that.
Congratulations, my friend. I know you're going to do a great job. Jim and I met because I was out in San Antonio, and he had me on as a guest on his radio show. His show was on for years. I was very saddened when it discontinued, and I'm glad you're getting a show again because you deserve it, and I know it's going to be a fantastic show.
Well, it's fun. It's great to be able to have an avenue to share the things that we've been inspired with, and I want to kind of bring it back around to what I've tried to do pretty consistently lately. We talk about a lot of things. We talk about things that are hard, difficult. You know, the election is scary for some of us. You get all of the COVID, which is scary for some people. You have riots that are real. They really are real. There are people being injured and killed. And there's some really difficult stuff in our country. And I want to say, folks, again, especially those of you that are believers and professing Christians, we must pray. Otherwise, we have no hope. If we don't believe that there's something bigger than just this world, and this culture and this short life that we get, then we're most hopeless. And so I believe in praying, and I believe in praying for things that seem impossible. And I want to encourage you to do that. I think that the one thing, the only thing that can really save this country at this point would be a genuine spiritual revival. And I believe those things happen in history.
Hear, hear. Whenever people ask me what I believe about our future, I always preface it with, God can do a miracle, God can bring revival, God is ultimately in control, however, God will hold nations accountable, so part of that control is that God expects prayer, expects repentance, particularly from our leaders, particularly from some of our church leaders who compromise. But without God, left to this present trajectory, our civilization as we've known it, our republic as we've known it, is over.
Yeah.
However, I have great hope that because of God and because of prayer, that won't happen. So it depends on which one you're looking at, the trajectory without God, the trajectory with God. Very hopeful for one. There is no hope for the other. And that's just the facts.
And all you have to do is read history to see evidence of that.
And that's the saddest thing, that people don't learn from history because it happens. Yeah. Everybody keeps, today's college students are hearing about how wonderful socialism is. And then they go, well, but don't pay attention to Venezuela. You know, we mean places like Sweden, and then Sweden saying, what are you calling us socialists for? We have some socialism.
Yeah.
But we, you know, we have a lot of capitalism, too. So you look at the pure socialism, which is Marxism, communism, that hasn't worked out too well.
It hasn't worked anywhere on the planet. And
the way we've been living under COVID, running out of toilet paper, having to wear masks, standing in lines, movie theaters closing down, restaurants closing down, people out of work. That's a taste of socialism, folks. How do you like it?
Exactly.
You're getting a taste. Never mind what you heard in college. Here's a taste of what it's actually like.
Yeah, if you like walking down the aisle at the store and there's an arrow telling you which way you have to walk, if you like waiting outside in line, and I've been seeing this a lot, not only here but in Texas where I live, where it, you know, it's kind of the anti-California, but I'll go to the store sometimes and shelves are empty of products that normally are stocked up, and that's a page right out of communism and if you really, really like all of that stuff, then maybe you do want a socialist regime.
Jim, speaking of Texas, because before we went on the air, when we were in the break room, you were telling me about how wonderful your governor is. And I followed Governor Abbott.
Yeah.
And so I just had an idea, and maybe you could take this back as a courier to the government. For a year, could California and Texas just trade governors? We'll send Gruesom Newsom your way. And his Royal Majesty Newsom could grace Texas with his presence, and we'll take Abbott for a while.
No, not going to happen.
I don't know. I just thought it was a good idea.
They already
even,
made it.
Even swap, Jim. You're governor for ours. Even Steven swap.
We already did that. California got Bakersfield, and Texas got Austin. Been done.
Hey, I'll sweeten the deal. I'll throw in Pelosi, Kamala Harris.
Definitely not.
Okay. Adam Schiff. I keep raising the pot here.
Nope.
I'll throw in the minnow that Nancy Pelosi's trying to protect by putting all farmers out of work.
We'll throw in the minnow that's
an endangered species.
Dianne Feinstein. Nope.
Feinstein.
Nope.
I'll give you Feinstein.
Nope.
Ladies and gentlemen, look at the wonderful things I'm offering him.
The Bob Siegel Show podcast is a production of Bob Siegel and Cross Global Media. Visit us online and subscribe to the show at cgmradio.com/Bob.